Hi, I'm Phil. I'm here with my co-host and producer, Tammy. Together, we do the Homicide Canada podcast. This episode is our April Homicide in Canada rundown for 2022. Basically, we have a website, homicidecanada.com. Basically, we try to track all the murders that there are in Canada. On the website, we try to have a page for every murder. We're also on social media, so you can look at Facebook or Instagram and put in Homicide Canada and search it, and you'll find us. We're on Twitter. It's Twitter underscore homicide underscore Canada. And we also, if you want to get in touch with us, you could, like, one way you can do it if you don't want to do it by social media is just email us at info@homicidecanada.com. So if we've missed a murder in your area and that, then feel free to message us. It's possible that we just haven't caught it yet, or we're just a little slow in getting it updated because there's only so many people here. But yeah, it's possible, like, with especially some of the smaller towns, especially in Quebec, it can be a bit hard too. And also, like, on our homicidecanada.com webpage, if you're interested in your province, we have a page for each province in that. So if you want to see how many murders there's been in 2022 or in past years, and for some of the bigger cities in Canada, we have their own pages too in that. So if you want to go check out Toronto or Winnipeg or Halifax and that, you can see how many homicides have occurred so far this year.
All right, we're going to jump right into the April stats. April 2022 saw a total of 47 homicides compared to 43 in April 2021. So that's pretty comparable.
Yep.
There were 6 female victims and 41 male victims, so that's 87% male, which isn't unusual either.
Yeah, like obviously a lot more males, male homicide victims than that, but still 87. That's pretty high number of males relatively. I don't know. I guess I'd have to look back the previous months, but usually, obviously, there's more males. I guess the other thing, like 47, that's not super high per month in that. I guess the one thing about April, like, I don't know, I guess we've seen a pattern in Canada, like a lot of other places in the summer, there's higher homicide rates. So
yeah,
April's not a super high month. And 47 is not a super high total that we've seen. I haven't really looked what the ones were earlier in the year, but I don't think they were that high. Okay, we'll go over the youngest and oldest victims, homicide victims of the month. So the oldest was 87-year-old Richard Rutherford. Philippe Hubert was charged with the murder of the 87-year-old Richard Rutherford in Ottawa. Ottawa police were called to the 800 block of Smith Road, Smythe, at about 3 p.m. on April 15th, where they located a deceased male. The victim was later identified as 87-year-old Richard Rutherford of Ottawa. The cause of death has not been released. On Saturday, April 16th, Ottawa police announced that Philippe Hubert, 69, of Ottawa, has been arrested and charged with second-degree murder. Investigators have not said if the victim and accused were known to each other. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Ottawa Police Homicide Unit at 613-236-1222, extension 5493. So yeah, 87, that's fairly old, and kind of one more unusually, homicide alleged perpetrator is 69 years old. So
yeah, pretty old too.
Pretty old as well. Yeah. So we're not sure exactly yet what went down there. The youngest was a 3-year-old boy in Portage-la-Prairie on April 10th, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. Okay, we'll go over how many homicides there were in April 2022 in each province. Ontario, the most populous province, led with 16. Then Alberta with 9, Manitoba with 7, BC with 5. Quebec, which is the second most populous province, only had 4. Nova Scotia had 2. Saskatchewan only had 2, which is unusual. Well, maybe not that unusual, but usually it has more homicides than that. New Brunswick with 1. Newfoundland with 1, and that meant that all the territories in PEI had no homicides in the month of April in 2022.
In the cities with more than one homicide, Toronto had 6, Calgary had 4, Montreal had 4, Winnipeg had 4, Portage-la-Prairie had a triple homicide, Edmonton had 2, and Surrey had 2. And murders by type, there were 21 shootings, 12 unknown, 6 stabbings, 4 others, and 1 beating. That's a lot of shootings.
That is a lot of shootings.
Usually there's more unknown for us.
Yeah, but I guess the one thing is sometimes when, say, there's a stabbing in that, then we don't always know. But I don't know. I guess if somebody heard shots fired in that,
yeah,
it's more likely that it comes out that it was a shooting in that. But still, that's like a fair amount. And who knows? Even some of the unknowns could end up being shootings as well. Not that many stabbings. I don't know. Like in the years we've been doing this podcast, it's... There used to be more of the known ones. There used to be more stabbings than that, I feel.
But I feel like it was more stabbings and more beatings, but now it's more gun related.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're going to come to the section of the podcast where we go over some of the more noteworthy murders that occurred in Canada in April. So Simcoe Police, I believe this is in Ontario, investigated the death of, hopefully I do not get this name wrong, Mojtaba Shabani, found in a Bradford canal as a homicide. So South Simcoe Police Service responded to the report of a body in a barrel in the Bradford Canal on Canal Road between Simcoe Road and Fifth Line on Friday, April 15th, 2022 at approximately 1:30 p.m., an autopsy completed at the Center of Forensic Science in Toronto on April 17th revealed the male victim died as a result of a homicide. South Simcoe Police have identified the male as Mojtaba Shabani, 37, who also went by Eric and, I guess, Moji. Investigators said Shabani moved to Canada from Iran in 2010. Investigators have been unable to locate any of his international or local relatives. The investigation has revealed he was a member of the LGBTQ2S+ community in Toronto. As part of the investigation, police are trying to piece together Mr. Shabani's life, especially specifically last year. Anyone with information about Mr. Shabani regarding his ex-partners, family, friends, employment, and recent movements are to contact Detective Constable Andrew Smith at 905-775-3311. So yeah, it's I guess the one thing is that they don't seem to know very much about the victim in that. So
yeah, that one's kind of unusual that they can't find anyone connected to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. I don't know if he was kept his sexuality maybe close to his vest in that or.
Maybe. Okay, the next one here. Kelowna man was fatally stabbed by a stranger. Kelowna police were called to the intersection of Gordon Drive and Harvey Avenue at 8:45 p.m. on April 25th on the report of a stabbing. On arrival, police located a 38-year-old man suffering from stab wounds. He was rushed to hospital where he died of his injuries. According to reports, the stabbing occurred following a verbal altercation between the suspect and the 38-year-old victim. A 28-year-old man was also injured in the attack. He received minor injuries and was taken to hospital and has since been released. He was just passing by when he was attacked. A 22-year-old man has been arrested. Corporal Tammy Lobb said the victim and the accused were not known to each other, and she said, "We're asking anyone who may have witnessed this incident or who may have dash cam footage to come forward and call the Kelowna RCMP at 250-762-3300.
So, yeah, that's basically pretty disconcerting in that where, somebody is just stabbed randomly on the street, and then... and 8:45 p.m., that's not super late.
I guess it would have been maybe still dark then.
It could have been. And then another 28-year-old guy just walking by as well in that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it seems like we're getting a bit more of these kind of, random sort of murders in that lately in the country. I don't know. I guess we probably have the stats on that, but... You always notice that in that, because obviously a lot of homicides, mostly it's the victim kind of knows the whether it's domestic or a gang thing or something like that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of random. Yeah.
Okay, the next one, 17's charged. A 16-year-old boy is dead following an assault outside of McNally High School in Edmonton. Edmonton police and paramedics responded to the report of an assault outside of McNally High School on April 8th at approximately 2:44 p.m. On arrival, police and EMS located 16-year-old Karanveer Sahota suffering from life-threatening injuries. Police, fire rescue, and EMS provided first aid on scene, and paramedics treated and transported the youth to a hospital where he died of his injuries. On April 15th, so I guess that's a week later,
mm-hmm.
Investigators said a number of youth suspects have been identified and more information will be forthcoming. Anyone with any information about this homicide is asked to contact EPS at 780-423-4567. We've got an update here. On April 21st, a 17-year-old male and two males aged 15 and 16 were charged with second-degree murder. Two 14-year-old males and two males aged 15 and 16 were formally charged with second-degree murder on Friday, April 22nd, 2022. The female youth is also facing a charge of obstruction. Police said the victim and suspects were known to each other and is believed that this incident was an escalation of violence between two rival groups. So, yeah, that, obviously we can't name any of the alleged suspects because they're under 18 and are covered under the Youth Justice Act. Yeah, that's unusual, obviously, the fact that there was six people. Also, that six were actually charged with secondary murder, too, in that. So that's a lot of people involved with one murder in that. So,
police arrest Travis McLeod in relation to a triple homicide of a mother and two children in Portage la Prairie. RCMP responded to a house on 7th Street on April 10th at approximately 1 o'clock in the morning. When police arrived, the fire department was already on scene. When the fire was extinguished, a 32-year-old woman and two children, a 6-year-old girl and a 3-year-old boy, were located deceased inside the home. Police took an adult male into custody, however, he was released the same day. Investigators determined the victims sustained injuries that were not associated with the fire and their deaths have been confirmed to be the result of a homicide. So on April 12th, RCMP announced that Travis McLeod, 50 years old, was wanted for arson and three counts of second-degree murder of his wife and his two children. He was last seen in Winnipeg on April 11th and April 12th. RCMP and the Winnipeg Police Service arrested Travis McLeod without incident in downtown Winnipeg on April 15th at approximately 8:30 p.m. He's been turned over to the RCMP Major Crime Services. According to an interview with Travis McLeod's ex, he had violent outbursts that were often triggered by alcohol. She said everyone feared him, even his own family.
Yeah, that's a really sad case. There's not usually too many triple homicides in Canada, that, and triple domestic homicide in that.
Little kids, too.
Yeah, that's, I guess that's the injuries the police are saying that the injuries were not from the deaths were not from, perhaps from the arson then, but they
didn't say what
were. All right, so it was probably a case of, like, lighting the fire afterwards and that.
Try to cover it up or something.
Try to cover it up, which is obviously surprisingly common that we've seen from this podcast and from our website and that in Canada. Okay, the next one is your interesting homicide is actually two, and it's the 19th and 20th homicides in Toronto. 21-year-old Kartik Vasudev was fatally shot outside the Sherbourne subway station, and then Elijah Elazar Mahapath was fatally shot in the Garden District. Toronto police responded to the report of a shooting at the Sherbourne subway at Glen Road on April 7th at approximately 5 p.m. Police said 21-year-old Kartik Vasudev was given medical attention by an off-duty paramedic before being rushed to hospital where he died of his injuries. And then 2 days later, Toronto police responded to the report of a shooting in the Dundas Street East and George Street area on April 9th at approximately 6:30 p.m. It is reported that a man approached Elijah Elazar Mahapath, 35, of Toronto, and shot him multiple times. Mahapath was transported to hospital via emergency run where he died of his injuries. On April 12th, Chief of Police James Raymer updated the media on the arrest of 39-year-old Richard Jonathan Irwin in Homicide Investigations 19 and 20. Police alleged that Richard Jonathan Irwin discharged a handgun striking Kartik Vasudev multiple times before fleeing the scene. Police further alleged that the accused approached the second victim, 35-year-old Elijah Elazar Mahapath, who was walking westbound on the north side of Dundas Street near George Street. Investigators believe the murders were random attacks, and the victims were not known to the accused or each other. Richard Jonathan Edwin has been charged with two counts of first-degree murder. So, yeah, that's kind of a wild two murders in that, where a guy, like, just picks two people at random over 2 days, I guess, or 3 days in that. And
I do wonder, I didn't see, like, what race Jonathan or Richard Jonathan Edwin was, but, like, I wonder if they were racially motivated.
Yeah, you do wonder if it's some sort of hate crime or that.
Yeah.
So, or if the guy was just completely crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like with a case like this, you're never really 100% sure. So.
Gerald Russell Frommelt arrested in connection to the fatal shooting of Jamie Lynn Schiebel. Calgary police were called to the 300 block of Templeview Drive Northeast for reports of gunshots on April 7th at approximately 7:15 p.m. On arrival, police and paramedics located an unconscious woman who appeared to be suffering from a gunshot wound. The victim, Jamie Lynn Schiebel, 23, was rushed to hospital where she died of her injuries. On April 12th, Calgary police issued a warrant for Gerald Russell Frommelt, 37, who was wanted for second-degree murder. Staff Sergeant Martin Chivetta said, "We have determined that the victim and the accused were recently in a relationship, and we believe this to be a domestic-motivated homicide." And on Friday, May 6th, at approximately 3:50 p.m., Calgary police arrested Frommelt at a residence in the 1900 block of 24th Street Southwest.
Okay, yet another domestic homicide.
Yeah, that one, she was pretty young.
Yeah, a lot younger than him.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to go on to some noteworthy arrests or discoveries that happened in April and that. So the first one, Winnipeg police laid charges in relation to the murder of a missing man, Brandon Brust, I think. Brust? I'm not sure. Okay. On February 11, 2022, Winnipeg police received a request from Selkirk RCMP to assist with a missing persons investigation that involved Brandon Brust, 26, and a 22-year-old female who reported missing from Scantlebury and believed to be in Winnipeg. Police then located Brust's vehicle parked along the 600 block of Selkirk Avenue on February 13th. On February 14th, Winnipeg police responded to a known drug house in the 400 block of Pritchard Avenue on the report of suspicious circumstances. Police arrived to find several people within the residence, including a 22-year-old female who had been seriously assaulted. She was taken to hospital, and the remaining people in the house were arrested. One of the detained individuals was identified as the 22-year-old missing woman from Scantlebury. Investigators determined that the missing man, Brandon Brust, was at the home on Pritchard Avenue on February 11th, and while there, police believe Brust was attacked and killed by the male resident. His remains were removed from the home and disposed at another location. A female present during the incident was seriously assaulted. Another female was threatened and forcibly confined at the scene. On March 30th, RCMP confirmed that human remains had been located near Road 79 North in the rural municipality of Woodlands. Forensic analysis determined the remains to be that of Brandon Brust. So as a result of a lengthy investigation, police have arrested and charged three individuals. Kenneth Andrew Edwards, a 29-year-old male, and he was charged with second-degree murder, sexual assault, forcible confinement, possession of firearm or ammunition offenses contrary to Prohibition Order X-5, failure to comply with court orders X-8, possession of a scheduled substance. And then Billy Aaron Kozub, a 30-year-old female, has been charged with accessory after the fact to murder, possession of firearm contrary to prohibition, warrants, aggravated assault, and failed to comply with court orders, times five. And then Emily Ray Fontaine, an 18-year-old female, has been charged with accessory after the fact to murder. So I guess the original missing female was found there, but she was not charged then with... She's not one of the three, or was she maybe one of the three?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It doesn't look like it, maybe, because the person who was missing was a 22-year-old female.
Yeah, and then
so.
The other woman was beaten up at the scene. So
okay, so.
I don't that might, think some it's one of them.
Yeah, so. Kind of a sad case in that, but we'll keep following it and see what happens.
Clement Mainville charged with manslaughter in the 2021 overdose death of Jim Witters in Pembroke. Police said Clement Mainville, 55, allegedly sold an undisclosed amount of illegal narcotics to Jim Witters on April 28, 2021. Witters ingested a lethal amount of fentanyl and was found unresponsive at an Elizabeth Street home in Pembroke. He was rushed to hospital where he died of his injuries. Originally, police arrested Mainville on May 4th, 2021, and charged him with obstructing a peace officer and trafficking a scheduled substance. As a result of the investigation, the Office of the Chief Coroner for Ontario at the Ontario Forensic Pathology Service said the death of Witters was directly linked to his ingestion of fentanyl, and Mainville was formally charged with one count of manslaughter on February 4th, 2022. He will remain in custody until his trial.
So, yeah, we've seen that before in that where people like police and I guess the Crown prosecutors are like charging the dealers with like basically homicide in that.
So yeah, in it seems really random, though.
It does. Like, definitely seems chosen. Random. Yeah. And it's interesting in the sense, well, for a number of reasons. One thing is that there's a lot more overdose deaths than there are homicides, I think, now in each year in Canada. So
yeah.
I don't know if they started charging everyone's dealer who has a homicide or has an OD in that, then we would have a lot of homicides.
Yeah, I think there's another one. I'm not sure. It might be something that we're talking about next month, but it was a London paramedic or something.
Who passed away? Or
yeah, an overdose, and his dealer got charged too.
I figured the paramedic would be a bit more wary of that. Okay.
You would think.
All right. A second man has been charged in relation to the homicide of Chad Kowalchuk in Calgary, I guess. On Friday, February 18th, 2022, emergency responders were called for reports of a house fire in the 100 block of Douglas Ridge Green at approximately 5 a.m. When the fire was extinguished, Chad Kowalchuk was found deceased inside the home. Staff Sergeant Sean Gregson of the Calgary Police Homicide Unit said the investigation has been extremely complex and has required the coordination of resources from across our service. We continue to investigate the events leading up to the victim's death and ask anyone who may have information to please contact police. Calgary Police Homicide Investigators arrested Justin Angus Boucher, 30, of Calgary, on March 25th, 2022. Boucher has been charged with first-degree murder and arson charges and will appear in court on Thursday, April 7th. And the update on April 15th, Calgary police arrested Ronald Leon Abraham, 41, of Calgary, Thursday, April 7th, 2022, and charged him with first-degree murder as well. And then there's another update on April 22nd. Calgarian Robert Wayne Sims was arrested in Radium Hot Springs, BC, on April 20th for first-degree murder. Calgary police believe there were a number of people attending his residence in the days prior to the fire and are asking anyone who has information or knows of people who have information to please come forward. Anyone with information about this incident is asked to contact the police by calling 403-266-1234. So, yeah, I guess there's three then that have been charged for this homicide. And then another case of probably, and this I'm just like allegedly, although I guess the police haven't said for sure, but maybe he was killed before the fire and then the fire was set to cover the tracks, but we don't know that for sure.
Yeah, we don't know yet, but it's usually
it's a case. Pretty common pattern in Canadian homicides and probably around the world, to be fair. But
yeah. So this one's a sad one, and it hasn't been deemed a homicide yet, and it's still under investigation, but we're going to talk about it in case anyone has any information. Toronto police investigate the death of a young child who was found in a dumpster. Toronto police responded to the reports of human remains located in a dumpster in the Castle Frank Road and Dale Avenue area on May 2nd at 4:46 p.m. The Homicide and Missing Persons Unit was immediately notified and attended the scene. On May 4th, a postmortem examination was completed and investigators have confirmed the following. The remains are that of a young girl, possibly between the ages of 4 and 7. She's described as black, of African or mixed African descent. She's 3'6" with a thin build and has black curly hair that was sectioned in four short ponytails, two of which were braided and secured with a black and blue elastic band. And she has all her teeth. The cause of death has not been released at this time. Inspector Hank Insigna of Homicide and Missing Person Unit said, "We are investigating this death at its highest level, just like a homicide investigation. Police believe the remains were left in the area between Thursday, April 28th, 2022 at 12 p.m. and Monday, May 2nd, 2022 at 4:45 p.m. However, she may have been deceased as early as the summer or fall of 2021 or even earlier. Detective Sergeant Renee Foley said the child was wrapped in a crochet blanket that was placed in a plastic bag and then wrapped in colorful fabric. They've released images of two of the items associated to where the child was found in hopes that someone would recognize them and help identify who the little girl is. And if you go to, we have it listed on the Toronto Homicide page at the very, very bottom with the star. You can go and check it out and see if you recognize those fabrics. Any members of the public who has any information or video surveillance of the area, including dash camera footage, or anyone who recognizes the blankets or the victim's description, is urged to immediately contact police at 416-808-5300. So, yeah, that's pretty sad and
yeah, it is a sad one in that. And it is strange in that, and the fact that she could have been dead for quite some time in that.
Yeah.
And then also found in the dumpster, so it makes you wonder, was she like dead somewhere else and then placed in the dumpster recently, or the dumpster just hadn't been changed like in a long time, or who tipped the police off?
I think it kind of looked like the house where the dumpster was, it kind of looked like it was under construction. Under construction,
so yeah, maybe there could have been
like
mean.
Like a contractor or something?
So there could have been like a dumpster there for quite a while on that, so.
Yeah, but I guess like those contractors would have probably known like if it was empty on this day and all of a sudden a body was there.
That's true. Okay, so the next interesting, I guess, our newsworthy thing to cover for us is the trial has begun in the 2019 Dundas, Ontario, that's just outside of Hamilton, double homicide of Carla and Alan Rutherford. Here's the backstory. So Hamilton Fire and Hamilton Police Service responded to a report of a house fire at 8 Greening Court in Dundas on July 9th at approximately 3:45 a.m. Carla was pronounced dead on the front lawn after firefighters had pulled her from the house. Alan, 63, managed to escape the burning home, and he passed away in hospital 12 hours after the fire. Hamilton Police Service Major Crime Unit have determined the fire was deliberately set and that Carla and Alan Rutherford were victims of homicide. So in the updates on October 28th, 2019, the Ontario Fire Marshal report confirmed that Clara and Alan Rutherford were victims of arson. And then Richard Taylor, a father of two and a former teacher at Hess Elementary School in Hamilton, who was 42 years old when he was arrested January 2019 in connection with the murder of his mother, Claire Rutherford, and his stepfather, Alan Rutherford. Police said they believe the murder of Richard Taylor's mother and stepfather was financially motivated. Okay, and so now the trial has started. He has pleaded not guilty. According to Global News, the trial heard that Taylor's financial situation was dire in the period leading up to the murder, to the extent that he falsified bank records to hide the family's money troubles from his own wife. Taylor was the executor of Carla and Alan's will and stood to gain a significant amount of money in the event that both of them died. In a Hamilton Spectator article by Susan Claremont, she said, on the day of the fire, July 9th, 2018, Rich owed at least $235,000. All the cash he had access to amounted to just $483.38. According to a next-door neighbor witness testimony, Alan was pounding on their door naked and badly burned, and kept saying that someone had firebombed them and that Carla was still trapped inside the house. He asked her to call 911 and said, "Don't call Rich. He did this. He'll already know about it." The fire marshal determined that the only room that had a fire pattern was the bedroom, meaning that that was the room where the fire originated. He said the fire was so intense that it burned through the roof, so you could see the sky and through the film to the basement or through the floor to the basement. The accelerant was a medium petroleum distillate that was on the floor and up the legs of the bed. The trial is ongoing and is on a break right now since the juror tested positive for COVID. I think it just restarted again today.
Okay.
And I think he was on the stand in that. So, yeah, if you want to follow this, I'd suggest the Hamilton Spectator. I've been covering it pretty regularly. But that's just the kind of a crazy case of, I don't know, alleged murder for financial benefit in that.
Yeah.
And, like, a guy, really in debt. And then, yeah, there's like, from I'm reading the Spectator articles and that, I guess his wife, he didn't give her like a debit card or a credit card and just gave her cash in that. And I guess it was, I don't know, kind of kept her in the dark at how much debt he had in that. So,
oh, weird.
So, yeah, it's kind of like almost, I don't know, one of those Dateline NBC type homicides, I think. So.
Yeah. And crazy that he was able to, or maybe he did it before they went to bed, like put an accelerant on their bed.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it makes you wonder, like, obviously, I guess it got reported at 3:45 a.m., so I don't, like, maybe he just, like, squirted some accelerant and put it, lit it, like, on the floor and lit the match right away or something, or, like, what did he do, or, yeah, I don't, like, I don't know if we'll ever really know exactly, like, how that worked out in that, but obviously, yeah, and, like, I guess today he was on the stands, and a lot of times with, you know, with murder trials, I don't know. It kind of depends. Like, sometimes people won't testify in their own defense, but I don't know. This time he is in that, so I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens, but obviously, I don't know. The trial should probably be done by our next episode, and I guess we'll probably say what the verdict was in that. But from what I've read, I don't think it's looking too good for him, but I guess we'll see what happens.
Okay, so Phil, there's been news in relation to the Canadian Superior Court ruling and multiple homicides.
On Friday, May 27th, 2022, the Supreme Court of Canada unanimously ruled that consecutive sentences for multiple murders was cruel and unusual punishment and unconstitutional. The previous program was implemented in 2011 by the Conservative government of Stephen Harper and authorized judges to add together parole waiting periods of 25 years if they wished for each life taken.
And I guess pre-2011, the mandatory penalty for first-degree murder was life in prison with the first chance of full parole after 25 years. But there were exceptions, and 15 years was possible for some, but that also ended in 2011. The death penalty was abolished in 1976 in Canada, and Canadian courts established the mandatory penalty. Canada will now return to life with 25 years before the eligibility of parole for first-degree murder, and life with a chance at parole at 10 to 25 years for second-degree murder.
So, yeah, I guess it's interesting. So, I guess in the States and that, then, like, you could obviously get like consecutive sentences and spend like ridiculous amounts of time in jail and that. But here and that, like, I got obviously before this change in 2011, if you murdered one person, two person, three person, you get life with parole possibly at 25 and that. And then the change in 2011 meant that you could add together the parole waiting periods of 25. So if you killed more people, you could spend like 50 or maybe 75 years without parole and that.
But I don't know, like, isn't that fair?
I don't know. Yeah. I guess the one thing is that, you know, multiple murder is quite rare in that. So in some ways there's like kind of a discount. Like if you kill one person and then kill like another, then it's still 25 years, and that's what it's gone back to. I guess the one thing I guess they've argued is that there's no guarantee that you'll get parole at 25 years in that. That's definitely true in that, but I don't know. I guess there's no guarantee that they won't get it in that as well. So I think there's only been like a handful of cases that have like use this and that, so because there's not really that many cases in Canada of multiple homicide. I guess there's a few each year in that, but it's now that's taken away. And if I recall, as we said earlier, so the Supreme Court of Canada unanimously ruled that it was, so I don't know. I don't really see, like, you know, even if they pass another law, like I think it's going to be 25 years. I don't think things are going to really change unless they totally changed the composition of the court. So, and basically got five people that were willing to do this. So, yeah, at the end of the day, if you kill multiple people, so for example, I guess that homicide we covered earlier, was it in Portage-la-Prairie?
Yeah.
Where the guy killed his wife and two children in that. So, previously under the legislation, he could have had up to 75 years without parole, but now...
And he'd be long gone.
And now he'll, like, I don't know, I would assume that he probably won't get parole right at 25, but I could see him getting parole at 30 or 35, but I guess it depends on the case. Okay, so, yeah, obviously a lot of people feel pretty strongly about it, but, that's the decision of the Supreme Court, and, I don't think things are going to change. Yeah, and so that's been our April 2022 episode covering all the homicides in April. Yeah, and we encourage you to go to our website, homicidecanada.com. So if you want to check it out, we have a post for every homicide. And we also have pages for all the provinces and territories and the major municipalities. If you want to email us, you can always hit us up at info@homicidecanada.com. And you can tell us if we missed a murder in your municipality or province. Or if there's anything else you want to say, our Twitter is homicide_Canada, and our DMs are always open too. And you can always just check us out on Facebook or Instagram. Just put in Homicide Canada and you search it and it should come up. So yeah, that's it for this month.